from 9 on 702 ABC Sydney. Simon Marnie here with you, and very shortly we're going to find out about the singer-songwriter. See if you can spot this song. It's a demo. It went on to be a very big song. This is how it originally sounded. I think we know the song now, but it was very different to the song that we came up to when... That's the demo version. So Glenn Shorrock singing there. Joining us is in the studio. We have Debbie Kruger and Brian Cadd. And what a pleasure to catch up with both of you. Debbie, it's amazing how a song changes from the inspiration in the mind to the finished product in the shelf. Did you cease to be amazed by that in your research for this book?
I heard so many great stories that I was continually amazed and yet never so totally surprised, because I think the magic of creating a song is such a surprising thing. And as I'm not a songwriter myself, I was just so in awe of that magic all the time. So people have been asking me, you know, what was the most surprising thing you learned? And it's like, well, I can't really say, because the whole process of songwriting to someone like me who just enjoys the finished product is this gloriously magical, surprising thing. With Glenn Shorrock in that particular instance, he actually had two songs. That one, which was called Hang On, and another song that he can't even remember where that is now. And they ended up becoming Help Is On Its Way some years later.
And it just grew from there. The amazing thing about the book is the diversity. And I think of books that have been published in the United States from such people as Peter Guralnick, from Jimmy Webb's written a book on
June
songwriting.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me, from Joy McKean, Rolf Harris, Nick Cave, Colin Hay, Brian Cadd, who we'll say hello to in a second, how did you manage to encompass such a diverse group of people? It must have taken an incredible amount of legwork.
Yep, I did it all myself. I had no one helping me set up interviews. I had no research assistant. I had no one transcribing my interview tapes afterwards. I did it all myself. It took about, from the very first interview, which was with Casey Chambers, before I even knew I was going to write this book, to the very last interview, was 4 full years. And then there was like another 6 months pulling it all together. So it was about a 4.5-year project. And I spent about 2 years of that just working full-time on the book, traveling around to do interviews, because I wanted to do them all in person. So I went to England to see Rolf Harris and Nick Cave and Darren Hayes and Terry Britton. And I was rewarded with getting really long time with them. I had 3 hours with Nick Cave. I had 3 hours with Rolf. I went to LA
twice.
Very
similar people.
Well, actually, Nick had some funny Rolf stories, but I won't share them with you now, because you can imagine. But I love that reach between Rolf and Nick. And a lot of people have said to me, Rolf Harris, why is he in the book? And my response is, he wrote Timey Kangaroo Down Sport and Sun Arise. Is he not a great songwriter?
And Karabara Wunakara, Little Star Upon the Lake.
If we're still singing songs like that, you know, 40 years on, then he's a great songwriter.
Brian Cadd, when Debbie first came to you to say she was doing this book, what did you think? Because the songwriter has not been recognised in Australia as much as it should have been, have they?
No. Or indeed worldwide, I think. If you go back through the history of music, I mean, most people in the record business say, well, it all started, read it in interviews. And yet when it comes down to it, that's not very often where people focus their attention. If a huge hit, you know, rockets up the charts, they don't immediately go, well, I wonder who wrote that. They don't. But so I suppose when we first came, I thought, this is a gigantic task, you know, to do this and make it, more importantly, to make it interesting and make it something that people who weren't writers would be keen to do, you know. Mm. And the bits of the book that I've seen so far, I'm getting my own copy this very evening.
Oh, you can borrow mine if you want.
Oh, no, yours is a bit worn now. I've got a new one. And most of the bits that I've read are very well written and designed to keep everyone interested in, you know, goes and goes and goes, as opposed to a sort of a dry discourse about composition, which most of these things have been in the past.
When you look at your career, I think you were listening to country music on Perth radio at the age of 6, playing piano on a TV show.
Mm.
You came into songwriting almost accidentally, didn't you?
That's right. I was 19 and I joined the group. And they had already had some hits, and they had sort of the major songwriters in the band, and I just joined, and they said, well, we've got to come up with a new song. Why don't you write one with a drummer? And you can imagine how encouraged I was. But he came up with a little tick-tick-tick-tick-tick thing, and I basically wrote it around that, and we wrote When You Break Me, and that was a number one record, and it was a great way to start writing, because I thought, how long has this been going?
And yet that collaborative process, because we don't know how a song is actually written if we've not written one ourselves, and many people haven't, but when you've worked with Max Ross, with, is it Don Murdy and the like, Richard Wright, how did you piece together the song? Did somebody say, you have verse one and I'll do the bridge, or did you, was it a purely just organic process?
Yeah, it's organic. It evolves. In most cases, it evolves. And I spent the last 4 or 5 years I was living in America in Nashville, which is sort of songwriting 101, and that's a heck of a way to get your head around the craft of it, if you like. And it's very much that. But I think as you get older, you get a bit more sort of self-selective, and you have to start with a really good idea. You can't make an average idea into a fantastic song, which you do when you're 16 and 17 and 18, you know. She Loves Me, fab, you know, and then you devote a month trying to make that into a hit. But as you get older, I think you grow up in terms of ideas.
Debbie Kruger, one of the compelling songwriters you captured, was Joy McKean. Now, of course, she wrote so many songs for Slim Dusty.
Yeah.
Did you sense that ego factor of somebody else getting credit for your piece of art?
Yeah, I mean, I make the point in my introduction to her interview that she spent most of her career fashioning Slim's career, writing for Slim, writing about Slim. She wrote their autobiography, and very selflessly, it never occurred to her that she's from a different era.
Mm.
And she did. She wrote some of his big hits like Walk a Country Mile and Lights on the Hill. And a fabulous songwriter, such an inspiring woman.
Look, it's a fantastic book because it's not, as Brian says, an academic tone. You get an insight into such diverse bands as Cold Chisel, The Twilights, Master's Apprentice, In Excess, Mental as Anything, and also into the songwriting process. And you get to read about Brian Cadden. Let me tell you, there's one passage there that's particularly interesting, Brian.
Oh, no.
We've only touched the tip of the iceberg, which is frustrating, but I would love to talk about it more. Thank you for joining us, Debbie Kruger.
Thank you, Simon.
And Brian Cadden. The song is called Songwriters Speak, Conversations About Creating Music, and it's out through Limelight Press. On 702 ABC Sydney, I look forward to your company tomorrow morning from 5:30 on Breakfast. Sally Lone, up after the news, because it's now 9 o'clock.